Hello, and welcome to the Your Gateway to Wealth and Fulfillment podcast. I'm Andrew Kittleson, a financial advisor at UBS Financial Services with Gateway Wealth Management. We're located in Charlotte, North Carolina, and can be reached at 704-362-8260. Our guest today is Michelle Fritch, Dr. Michelle Fritch, with Propel Comprehensive Wellness. She's not affiliated with UBS Financial Services, and her views are her own. So Michelle, welcome. I know you're a nationally recognized speaker. Someone asked me recently what it meant to be wealthy, and I thought for a second, wealth is relative, but you really need to be focused and balanced in life and have health. You know, what is your wealth without your health, and other areas of your life where you get fulfillment? So tell us a little bit about your business, your practice, and what your focus is.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity not only to be here, but to be the very first guest. That is a huge honor. And I do what I do because I've seen so many people, no matter how much wealth they've accumulated, fail, if you will, in retirement because their health did not sustain. And part of that health is the physical, you know, diagnoses and medications and that kind of thing. But another part of it is transitioning into retirement is very emotionally taxing. It can have an effect on mental health. Often relationships change so dramatically that it's almost like a social health crisis or a spiritual health crisis. So we really look at health from all of those avenues. And then I think we're going to talk a little bit more about the role of purpose and how important that is.
Yeah, absolutely. Studies show that when it related to business owners, about 3/4 of them are dissatisfied a year after the sale of their business. And part of that is financial. Maybe they have not done the proper financial planning, but much of it really is where do they get that fulfillment that they got from employing so many people, giving to the community through their business, and they identify with that. How do you get them to focus when they've spent so much time in the day-to-day of their business to focus on their health if they haven't been focused on that for a while? I'm sure some have been, others not so much. What's that like trying to get them to transition to that focus?
You know, it's a great question. And it's not just something that happens after the retirement party. You know, I'll think about it on Monday after I retired on Friday. It really needs to be something that's part of the planning prior to the transition. Because if you can see the other side and you know who you're going to be and why you're important, why the world cares about you, how you're relevant, why and how people are still going to care what you think, if you know that ahead of time, that transition goes well. But I've seen so many leaders who everyone hung on their every word. They had people waiting outside their office to talk to them all day long. Then they retired and it was quiet. All of those people at work are still busy working, still doing the same things. None of them are relying on them anymore. It's a huge identity crisis. And if we're not prepared for it, I think that leads to the rapid decline that we see in far too many of our leaders.
Great. So expound on that a little bit, not being prepared for it. What would be ideal in working with someone as they're thinking about retirement? I imagine it's not, I retire next week. I really need to start focusing on my health and what my game plan is day one of retirement. What would be ideal? What's the cadence or the process to an ideal transition into a healthy retirement?
I don't see ideal very often, but ideal would be we're 3 to 5 years ahead of time. And a piece of it is making sure that while you still have all of the business perks in the form of your health care, to take full advantage of that. Do all the screening processes, make sure that you're on top of any risk factors, health risk factors you have, which most of us don't even know what our risk factors are. Having a firm grip on any health issues that either you have or your family tends to have so that you are ready for those. So we've got all of that under wraps. In addition to the relationships, everyone that's going to be part of your life moving forward, have you talked? Are you on the same page? Do you want the same things? Do you have a mechanism by which you're going to live out those next phases of life with the people most important to you, because that is often, if it's just based on assumption, sometimes those relationships aren't prepared for that big change. And then you just that your relevance, who are you going to be on the other side? So if we've got time to think about that, plan it, get a clear view picture of it, those are the people that not only transition well, but they're the ones that live, you know, to their 90s and 100s still going strong.
Okay, great. How do you determine the risk factors? If I get a basic annual physical and everything looks good, relatively good, I imagine what you're looking at is a little more extensive. What's the process or the testing that someone would go to determine that?
That's a great question, because healthcare right now is designed where after something goes wrong, healthcare comes in and helps find solutions for those issues. Risk factors are things that we've accumulated over time. It might be related to childhood illnesses that someone had. It might be related to accidents or injuries, sports injuries, bicycle injuries, car accidents. And then there's the component of family history and family habits and things that we've carried forward that may not be in our best health interest. Let's identify those and make proactive changes if we choose to. And then genetics, pharmacogenomics, genetics. There are new sciences that really help uncover risk factors that before we couldn't have known about. And now we incorporate those into the plan.
Okay, great. The health is one aspect of this. The other is the overall fulfillment. So when you think about fulfillment, there's certainly a difference between staying busy and living with purpose. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I would love to talk about that. It's one of my favorite topics. I find a lot of people think that retirement is about finding hobbies. And that is a piece of it, you know, having things that you like to do. Often people have things that they've put off. They haven't had time to become a guitar player or to take up a new sport. And so that's a piece of it. But staying busy is a very self-focused activity. What do I want? What makes me happy? How do I want to fill my day? There's not as much fulfillment over time that comes out of that. As if someone identifies what do they have that they want to offer the world that helps other people. And when they do that, one, it fills their day, but in the process, they tend to be around other people. So their social network is bigger. They're around other people, so they tend to like eat out more and have healthier meals. People that are just at home watching Netflix all day, kind of pop a frozen meal in the microwave and it's not as healthy and they're not moving as much. You move your body more when you're living with purpose. And you tend to just be more aware of your overall health. So those, and you're giving back to someone else, which is way more fulfilling than just doing things that make you happy.
So I imagine there's different ways to go about doing this. If somebody wanted to engage working with you, what are the different avenues? Are there online tools? Is it one-on-one coaching? What other ways do you work with people?
Can I tell you a little bit of a story?
Sure.
Because this is kind of how this has evolved. I left academia and healthcare to get in front of this because I saw so many leaders who were bigger than life, you know, really powerful positions who did not do well in retirement, often had health declines that I could see were completely preventable. So the first version of this is what I called the concierge. So I can definitely walk someone through this entire process one-on-one, that person's schedule, not a lot of homework, you know, we really do it together. But I can only take about five people at a time through that kind of process. Prior to COVID, my business partner and I had planned these exclusive retreats for Fortune 100 business owners, people that had a lot of social influence, and it's hard for them to be any sort of transparent, obviously not in a public way. And so we would take them away to these very exclusive retreats where it's exclusive from the standpoint of no listening ears, and we could really walk through these processes in a private, confidential way. The first of those was going to be April 14th of 2020. And that obviously did not happen. And so we pivoted and took the entire process and broke it down into like 3-minute segments. And so through short videos and questionnaires and educational materials, we help people walk through this entire process on an app where they can go at their own pace and makes it much more adaptable to a very, very busy schedule. You could really consume it all in about 3 minutes a day.
Okay, great. So when we're working with specifically business owners, we try to get them to recognize that doing this planning a few years, like you said, 3 to 5 years in advance, and getting everything lined up and taken care of really allows them to take control of the process rather than the process controlling them. So in listening to you, I feel like that's what you're saying. This is how you take control of your health.
Right. So it's taking control of your health, because you can be very strategic about how you approach healthcare, and you're the one in the driver's seat. You make sure no mistakes are made because you are providing the right information. You know what questions to ask. You know what answers to make sure you receive before you leave the room. So really teaching you how to control your health, and then those risk factors, figuring out what they are, what to do about them. Uncovering purpose, because it's different for all of us, and you can't just walk into Neiman Marcus and buy it off the shelf. We've got to uncover what that is for you. Figuring out how you're going to stay mentally sharp. When you don't have that daily calendar in front of you and meeting after meeting, how are you going to stay in the game mentally? Who's going to be your social network? Because it won't be the same people. And then how do you plan for the future? We don't know what's coming. You know, we cannot predict that. But we can be a little more bulletproof from the standpoint of whatever happens, our family and loved ones know what their roles will be, what to do. You've made a lot of personal decisions that would help that transition into any sort of care that you need. And then if you become a caregiver, which most of us will at some point, we've got many, many resources so that you don't walk into that blind.
I feel like we're talking about people of a certain age that are approaching retirement, let's say in that 60-year-old range. What about younger folks? Maybe, say, professional athletes that work extremely hard, develop a fabulous career, and end up retiring early. What about those type of folks? What's the difference in working with them and trying to help them find the correct balance in life to get that ultimate fulfillment when you're, say, retired at in your early 30s?
Right. And you're absolutely right. I've had a chance to work a little bit with former elite athletes. That is a major life change. A piece of it is often those athletes are identified for their abilities early, elementary school even, or certainly middle school and high school. At that point, because their skills are so remarkable, many of them don't put as much emphasis on the educational components of their training. It's all about the athletic prowess, and they are excellent at what they do. And then when they retire, there's not always an obvious path for what they're going to do next. And so it's actually some of my favorite people to work with is figuring out, one, how do you maintain your body when you're not having that rigorous of an athletic career? And then how do you figure out what you're intended to do and how you can still impact society when it's not part of that athletic program?
So I was looking at your website before we got together, and I saw something on there that identified you as a healthcare hero times two. Can you tell me what that is?
You know what? That's probably the biggest honor I've ever received. So the first time I received that was in Alamance County, North Carolina, and had the opportunity to start a clinic that worked with older adults that did not have prescription insurance. So we're going backwards in time a ways. But we started a program that got millions of dollars of free medications for people and then provided the primary care component for a group of people that didn't always have ready access to a doctor. And a health system told me if I could save them more money than I cost, that I could do what I wanted. And that is like the best thing you could ever be told. And so over a series of years, we not only reduced cost, we actually, you know, reduced it to what you would consider baseline. We reduced it even further than that. And so it had such a big impact on the community that we were given a Healthcare Hero Award. And then after that, I moved to Baltimore, Maryland to be part of starting a new pharmacy school. And part of that was we started a program we called Advo Caring. So advocacy and caring. All students were involved in particular activities within nonprofits within the Baltimore area. So we work as a school, we worked with 12 different nonprofits and were able to show huge impact on the overall health of the recipients of those nonprofit services. And so Baltimore gave the other Healthcare Hero Award.
Well, congratulations. That Thank is quite you. A reward. I mean, a way to make an impact on the community.
Yeah.
Good for you.
But the students learned so much, you know, it changed their perspective of the power of their skill set.
Yeah. Education is just so important. And so much of this comes down to the education of, you know, health and giving people a roadmap to live their best life, find that true balance,
right,
and ultimately that fulfillment. Well, fantastic. Where can people find you if they want to get in touch with you?
Propelyourwellness.com, or you'll probably be sharing information. Feel free to share my email, my phone number, websites. And if you'd rather have the concierge version, then that's retirewellness.com.
Okay, fantastic. This has been a great conversation, Michelle. Thank you so much for the time. Look forward to hearing more about your great work. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.